Well, good morning. Good to see you. We made it through Christmas, right? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that we can celebrate Christmas and know what Christmas is. And of course, Christmas is not just one day a year. Christmas is every day for us. Gift of the Lord to us every day. I do thank him for it. I hadn't heard from Brother Billy this morning, so I guess I need to go ahead and start and look at your bulletin and see about those things that are going on in our church for the coming days. Before I forget it, Happy New Year to you. Hope you have a great one. There's one thing that we can be assured of. The Lord will be with us. And it would be nice if we could be with him in his presence, not just in spirit, but in presence. Look into that day. This morning is going to be different than anything I've ever done. And it's one of those, they so much that I don't hardly know where to begin. But I'll ask you a few questions and then we'll proceed from there, I guess, Lord willing. So, but again, thank you for being here, and for those that might be listening in, wherever in that, we thank you for joining us today too. Ask you to bow with us in a word of prayer. And then we will try to look at our lesson together today. Lord, as we gather again this morning, realizing that we are blessed. We are blessed to have an opportunity to come before you today and open your precious word and the fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, thank you for the precious gift that you gave at Christmas. You gave your Son and our Savior. And Lord, as we gather today to study your precious word, we would ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we study together. Lord, I'd ask that you would remove me from the picture and that the Holy Spirit might come in and open your precious word to us. That you would be with us today, not only me, but each one who's present. And that we might be fed through the work of the Holy Spirit as we talk about your precious word. Lord, as we can do nothing with this of ourselves, Lord, I need your precious spirit this day. Ask you, Lord, now that you would anoint that we might understand and enjoy, Lord, the study of your precious word and who you are and what you mean to us. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. And thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us as we live our lives daily. And may we realize just how blessed we are to be able to call you our Lord and our Savior. Again, Lord, for those who have special needs today, we have much sickness and many needs, and we'd ask, Lord, that you'd bless according to your precious will. Just help us now to walk with you through your precious word. Lord, I need you today. And I ask that you would guide and direct as only you can. Commit it all to thee and ask that you would be blessed and that your will would be done in this message. Thank you, Lord, again for loving us, caring for us, watching over us, and giving us that eternal promise of a home with you in heaven. Bless again as we study. In thy name we do pray. Amen. We generally get together at Christmas, and we generally do it on day before Christmas, on morning. And then that kind of turns the rest of the family loose to go visit like you need to. You got 25 places, it seems like, to go, you know, every Christmas. Go out of one thing into another. And this year we didn't gather at the house. We went down to Janus. And generally I will read the Christmas story to the grandchildren. I just have them, they sit down in front of them. And I, because of what I had been looking at, I asked the children, I asked them some questions. I said, who was the first one to know about Jesus? You ever thought about that? Who was the first one to know about Jesus? Well, Julia Lennon's granddaughter cut me off right quick. It stunned me almost. Because I was looking at it, you know, in the physical realm, and she looking at it in the spiritual realm. And by the time I said that, she looked at me and said, God. And boy, that was a good answer, wasn't it? And you know, that kind of stunned me there for a minute. But in the physical realm, who was the first person that knew about Jesus? Yeah, Mary. Now, where is the first place in God's Word that we see the name Jesus? In all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, where is the first place that we see the name Jesus? You know, I never really thought about that. And I don't know how, you know, it's running them rabbits, I guess. I don't know how I got on this subject that we're looking at this morning. But you got to go to the New Testament. And you go to Matthew's, and you go to Matthew chapter 1, and you go to verse 1. And this is what it says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. Now, I want you to also notice in this that it says that it's Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking about the generation of Jesus Christ. And then when we look at this verse, it talks about the humanity generation of Jesus Christ. We'll look at this just a little bit deeper now. Because it says, this Jesus Christ, the son of who? Of David and the son of Abraham. So we look at the bloodline, the humanity line of Christ. Now, and if you begin to look, it talks about Abraham beget, and they beget, and beget, and beget, and beget. And you go all the way through this first chapter of begetting. But now I want you to go over to the 16th verse for just a moment and look at this with me. And it says, and Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, this is Joseph's line. He says, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now, I want you to look at the word in this particular verse. I want to call your attention to a couple of things in this verse. Because if you look through this, all these verses prior to this, every time it says, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so. And even in this 16th verse, it says, Jacob did what? He begat who? Joseph. Now, you look at a severing point here, because there's a breaking in this begetting. Because it says the husband of Mary, and then what does it say? It does not say anything about Mary's begetting. Here is it. It says, Mary, of whom was what? Was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So here we have the severing of the begetting and the bloodline. We see that Christ has no tie to the bloodline of man. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. We're going to look at some of those names and those things as we look together, Lord willing, this morning. Now, look over in Luke with me for just a moment. Let's go over to the third chapter of the book of Luke. We're kind of setting a little stage, I guess you might say, this morning. So Luke 3, and we want to go to verse number 23. If I get there in a minute, pages sticking together. And it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So, we're talking about here Jesus, and we get into the genealogy of Mary. And we go that same pattern again. So-and-so. And if you follow this all the way through, and I want you to look at verse number 38. Which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of who? Adam. Which was the son of who? God. It takes you all the way back to Adam and Mary's genealogy. Now, let's look back at the Christmas story just a little bit and look at a few things together, those things that were said. Now, let's go back to Matthew, and we'll start in Matthew, and we'll come back to Luke again. So we're going to do a lot of flipping back and forth, and I want to try to go slow with this so I don't lose myself, and you too, maybe. But in Matthew chapter number 1 again, and we look at verse number 21, and this is the record of the birth of Jesus in the book of Matthew, but it brings Joseph into the picture more. So if we begin now to look . This is where the angel in verse number 20 appears to Joseph in a dream and says, fear not to take Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Notice this has already taken place at this point when the angel appeared to David. And it says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, and we'd mentioned this before, so what's his name going to be called? It's going to be called Jesus. Now, you remember with Zechariah and John, when the angel appeared to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John, and then he ended up being dumb and not speak the whole time during the birth of his son. And then when it come to time to name him, and they asked him, the friends and neighbors asked him what his name was going to be, and he says, John. And they made a statement, well, there's nobody in your family by that name. Why is he going to be called John? Well, we have kind of the same thing here. Why is he going to be called Jesus? And he's going to be called Jesus because that's what God told Mary to call him. His name's Jesus. Now, we're looking at his earthly name. Now, we're going to look at the names in a moment. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He got three names. Sometimes he's called Christ. Sometimes he's called Jesus. Sometimes he's called the Son of God. He's called many things through the Scripture. And that's what we're looking at. But he says, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, if we look on down, he says, and behold, in verse number 20, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel. So now we picked up another name, haven't we? So now we picked up a name, Emmanuel. And of course, we know we go back to Old Testament with this. But notice it says, which being interpreted is what? It's God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name what? Jesus. All right? Now, let's go back over now to Luke. Get back to the Christmas story again. Appeared to it. And we look in Luke, first chapter, verse number 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Now, in the tradition of the Jews, they did something because the child was really not named until when? A boy child had to have, something had to take place. And he's not named until all these things take place. And in chapter number 2, we find something here. All the Jewish males had to be circumcised. They had to be circumcised on the eighth day. And when the circumcision took place on the eighth day, he was named. So what happens here? And it said when 8 days were accomplished in verse number, chapter number 2 and verse number 21, were accomplished with the circumcision of the child. And his name was called what? Jesus, which was named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So Mary and Joseph didn't have a thing in the world to do with naming him, did they? God said his name's going to be Jesus. But we see all over through scriptures a lot of names. If we look at God's word, the name Jesus means Savior or Deliverer. But now if we look at Jesus and Christ and Lord, we get a total different picture. If we look at Christ, we got a multitude of names that go with that. We know that he is the son of the... Well, while we're here, back up again to verse number 32 in chapter number 1. He says, he shall be great and shall be called the what? The Son of the Highest. So here's another name. What have we seen already? We've seen he's going to be called Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 9, he's going to be Jesus Christ. We saw where he's going to be called Emmanuel. We see here that he's called the Son of the Highest. So what are we seeing? We're seeing a lot of different names that Christ is called. But when we look at Christ, it says that's the anointed one. So let's trace this through for just a little bit. Now, if we look, there's not a single solitary one of us in here today that had anything to do with what you're going to be called, what you're going to be named. How many of you in here named yourself? If you named yourself, raise your hand. So didn't one of us name ourselves? And that's something that's going with us all our lives. But every one of us have a last name, right? And when you look at your last name and my last name, who does it go back to in the family? It always goes back to the male gender. And see, so it is when we look at Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it go back to? See, we have it going back to the Father, His Father, God Almighty, the Lord. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at all those different names. Now, if we look, well, I'll take Brother Billy, man. We call him Preacher Billy or Pastor Billy or Brother Billy or whatever, but his name, is William. I think it's William K. Clay Caswell. I'm not sure about in the middle, but anyway. But when we look at Brother Billy, and he is a doctor, so we say Dr. William Caswell. Now, what does that tell us? It says Dr. William Caswell. Well, there's a lot of doctors in a lot of fields. But what if we say Pastor William Caswell? What if we say Preacher William Caswell? Or what if it's a missionary to come by and we say missionary so-and-so or evangelist so-and-so? What have we done then? The first name is a title. The first name is a title. So when we look at Christ Jesus, that first name is the title of who he is. It tells us who he is. Jesus tells us that he is the what? He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He is the deliverer of mankind. And then when we look at Jesus Christ, our Lord, then it ties him back just like you and I are tied to the male side. My daddy was a barber, and I'm a barber. My mother was a Massengill. I'm not called Massengill, I'm called barber. It's tied to the male side. So we see that even in Christ, it ties him back to God the Father, because God the Father is his Father, because he was conceived from God the Father. So we have what? We have his title name, that's Christ. We have his earthly name, or humanity name, that is Jesus. That ties him to the earthly man. And then we also have the Lord mentioned in it that ties him back to the Father. Now, when we look at Christ and we talked about the title, there's more titles than you can imagine in God's Word about Christ. You know, we can look at him and he is Messiah, he's Emmanuel, he's High Priest, he's King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, he is the Anointed One, he is the Gospel, the Word of God, he's the Sacrifice, he's the Redeemer, he's the Comforter, he's the Giver of mercy and grace and truth, of eternal life, of love, of joy. He is the way. He is the way to happiness. He's the way of peace. He's the way of security. He is the rock. He is the true vine. He is the sin barrier. He is the mediator. And you can go on and on and on and on. So he has title after title after title after title. Now, I want you to go back with me to Isaiah. Flip over to the book of Isaiah and let's look at Isaiah chapter number 7. There's a couple of things, places here I want us to take a look at. In chapter number 7, and we begin in, we're going to look at verse number 13 and 14. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary man, but will ye weary God, my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name," what? Emmanuel, an Old Testament, which means God with us. So that's God in flesh with us. Now, flip over to chapter number 9. And look at verse number 6. "For unto us a what? A child is born." It does not say Jesus. It does not say Emmanuel. It does not say Christ. It says a child. So here he's designated as a child. And this puts us back to the physical side. He was a physical man, born of a physical woman, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. So he says, "A child is born, and to you a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Jesus." Look what this says. "Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." See, you cannot separate Jesus from God. Jesus was God wrapped in flesh and walked on this earth. And that's the reason that we look at it and we see here that he is a once wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So now let's trace through a little bit. Now, what I want us to do, I want us now to go, we're in the book of Luke, and I want us to look at a couple of things in the book of Luke. And I know we talked about this last Sunday, but we're looking at it in a different light and a different perspective today in the second chapter. Mary, you call his name Jesus. Joseph, you call his name Jesus. On the eighth day when he was circumcised, his name was called Jesus. Second chapter, book of Luke. Shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. In verse number 8, the Lord came upon them. Angel said unto them, verse number 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Jesus. See, they don't say Jesus, does it? Calls him Savior. Which is who? Christ the Lord. In neither one of these is he called Jesus. He is called Savior. He is called Christ the Lord. Another title of who he is. Let's go a little farther into it. Go to the 26th verse. And here's where Simeon entered the picture. In verse number 26, and it will reveal unto him, that is Simeon, by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is involved, that he should not see death before he had seen who? Jesus? The Lord Christ. It does not refer to him again as Jesus. It referred to him as the Lord Christ. Matthew, second chapter. We'll wear you out this morning going back and forth. Second chapter of Matthew, and we look at verse number 4. Now, when the wise men came, this is the account, you know, of the wise men coming to Herod. And they says, we've come searching for who? Look at verse number 2. Saying, where is he that is born what? King of the Jews. Well, he is King of the Jews, so there's another title for him. Because we've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Now, look at verse number 4. And here's Herod, and he says, when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ would be born. You know, we're not seeing Jesus mentioned many times in these scriptures, are we? We're seeing in different names, different titles that are tied to Christ. Now, while we're here, let's keep going. Let's go. We're in Matthew 9, so watch this now with the wise men. In verse number 8. And he sent them, we're talking about the wise men, to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the what? For the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Verse number 9. the latter part of that verse. And what did they call him again in the latter part of that ninth verse? He called a young child again. In verse number 11, he's called what? He's called a young child again. In verse number 13, we come to the point now that Joseph has a dream. Now, Joseph knows what his name is. He said, look at this verse. Now, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child. Now, who has appeared to Joseph in a dream? An angel of the Lord. Well, you think that angel don't know what Christ's name, what Jesus' name is? But he says, young child. Now, there's a pattern that's being set up here. Then if we look at verse number 14, he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed and went down to Egypt. And it was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my what? Son. He didn't say Jesus, did he? Here's that title that he is. He is the Son of God. So during the whole process with them, he's called a young child. Now, let's roll over a little bit. See if I can find where I'm going. We're going to Luke. Go back to Luke. I want you to go back to the second chapter of the book of Luke. Now, we have seen that God intervened in the conception of Christ and has named him. You call him Jesus. See, I said the conception of Christ rather than the conception of Jesus. You see, you can't separate them. They're all as one. But the conception of Jesus, God intervened, says, call his name Jesus. Then he appeared to David, says, call his name Jesus. Then we find he appeared to Simeon, and Simeon said, he's Christ. Then we have the wise men, and they call him a young child. Herod calls him Christ. So during the process of the conception of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the naming on the eighth day of Jesus, and he's not mentioned anymore until the wise men come, and that could have been 2 years, somewhere up to 2 years. And we have records of those things that took place during that period of time about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Now, how much more do you find about him after that? How much record do we have of the life of Jesus after the record of the wise men? Watch this. You're in Luke. You're in the second chapter of Luke, and you're verse number 41. from the wise men. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was how old? 12 years old. The first record we see of Jesus from the wise men to now. If the wise men came at, and I didn't know the time was going, if the wise men came when Christ was close to 2 years old, that means we have a 10-year period of time that Christ is not recorded in scriptures. And I can't do this justice. I'm going to stop here. We're going to pick this up, Lord willing, and bless us to live the next Sunday. I'm going to pick this up again. But I reckon you've figured it out now that we're discussing the names of Christ and what they mean. So, interesting to look at that. So, God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Lord willing, we'll discuss a little bit deeper next Sunday.